right. Well,
there's a very intense bird on my work computer screen, and it's just staring at me. I wonder if I can turn the camera. Can you see it? If I, oh, don't knock whatever you're going to knock over. Do you see it?
Caw-caw.
He's looking at you like this.
I know. I don't like it, but I can't. And it's on the big screen. It creeps me out. Anyway, I'm sorry. Let's focus. I know you were about to start, and I interrupted you. Sorry. Continue.
So it's episode 125, and I was unaware. I feel like I feel like this is like a milestone number, but hey, hi. This is I'm Sorry With the Podcast.
I don't even know what day it is. We've already established that.
You know, it's all good. So I'm Amanda. That's Christina. She's a dum-dum. You called me a dum-dum when I told you the right day of the week. So
listen, it's just, it's fine.
It's payback.
It's payback.
What's up, dudes? How you doing? How are you?
Oh, you're talking to me. Are you there? Called me in. I'm really distracted by the giant bird on my computer monitor, but I can't make it go away.
Maybe you should have a blanket over or something.
I know, it's creeping me out.
Anyway, just like throw a sheet over your computer, your parents walk in. What's happening?
Listen, don't worry about it.
This is a really creepy bird.
I don't like birds.
Do you? You've seen New Girl, right?
Yes.
There's an episode Nick is afraid of birds, like deathly afraid of birds. And there's an episode where they're at a cabin and he's having a serious conversation with his girlfriend at the time. Then he looks over at the framed picture of the bird and he's like, "Bird!" And then falls to the ground.
Yes.
That's what it made me think of. Anyway, how are you?
I'm good. I have surgery in 2 days. I thought it was three, but you know, I found out today's Wednesday. Who knew?
Me.
And everybody else who owns a fucking calendar. Fire me.
Yeah. How you feeling about that? It's just another surgery.
You know, it's just another day in the life. It's old hat by now. I'm a little nervous because my niece crawled up into my lap and was like, "I don't want you to die." And I'm like, "Well, I wasn't thinking about dying, but now I am."
Having surgery on my ankle. That would be a very interesting story to tell for people. Oh, well, she went in for an ankle surgery.
Never came back up.
And never came back up. Why?
You don't know.
My mom said when I was talking to her that she's like, if I didn't know that all of these things were true, I would think that Christina was making up all the things she has to get done. I was like, I mean, if I haven't witnessed her healing, I might too.
I'm broken. I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
So sorry. Okay, should we
I'm not gonna fuck you.
No, also, that's not what I wanted to say. My brain like got stuck on fa, and I just kept fucking ma.
La 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 la. I mean, I'm fine too.
Do you know what song I've had in my head? Did I not ask you how you are?
No,
how
not
are
at you? All.
Sorry, it's all about
I'm
me.
Fine.
Today. Good.
I'm fine. Okay, I have a story Susan told me that I have to tell you at some point, whether it be now or next episode. Keep you guys on the hook.
But before you do that, you know what song I've had in my head? Huh. Going On Since Christmas. It's from Encanto.
Is this the one you keep singing at me? I haven't seen Encanto. Oh, yeah. I don't necessarily have any interest in it.
It's such a good movie.
That's what TikTok keeps telling me.
It's an amazing movie, but don't listen to it because you'll never get, the songs will never leave your brain. I swear to God, I dream about them. Fucking Lin-Manuel Miranda can fuck off because fuck you, man. You're a genius, but I can't get it out of my head. Anyway, did Susan have to tell us?
I'm sorry for your troubles.
I'm sorry that you're lame and not culturally up to date, so you don't understand what I'm talking about. But there's some of you out there that do and are cooler
than Amanda. You're aware that like I've heard the songs. I haven't watched the movie.
What do you want to tell me?
I'm not sure why you're personally offended. I forgot that you actually wrote Encanto. So
I did. It's about my life story. So
I'm sorry that I upset you with my lack of interest in it.
You should be.
Okay. Anyway, so the other day, my mom texts me and she goes, "Hey, give me a call when you get home." Because it's, of course, when we had this giant snowstorm on Friday. Mm-hmm. And I like had to drive home and it took me like 2.5 hours instead of an hour and a half because it was terrible. Anyway, she's like, "Call me when you get home." Okay, cool. So I give her a call and she's just like, "Okay, I have a story to tell you." Okay, what's up?
Susan.
It's like, so today I went to clean and I came back and Jake went to work. So she's there with Leon. And
is it a ghosty story?
No, but it's a weird story.
Okay.
So she's like, so I get there and I'm still getting my like cleaning stuff out of the car, I think is what she said. And she catches a glimpse in the window of something blue in the lawn. So she like looks out the window. It's just a fucking woman walking across their lawn. Like, keep in mind, everybody, my parents have like neighbors maybe 2 miles away.
They live in the middle of fucking nowhere. Why are you, hey, who are you?
Yeah. And she's like, she's, you know, probably your age, in her early 30s, and just walking in a sweatshirt in the snowstorm across their lawn. And so mom like goes and grabs something. She's like, I don't know, maybe I don't know what it is. Yeah, exactly.
You're next to a highway, so maybe your car
exactly
broke down.
So okay. She's like, maybe she's coming to the house to ask to use a phone or something, or needs help for something. So she runs out to the car, gets her last load of stuff from the car in the garage, comes back in and notices that she's heading towards the back like shed in their property. So she's like, so then I kind of run out and I go, hey, what are you doing? And she goes, oh, so-and-so got this far, so I thought I'd, and she's like, what are you talking about? And then she starts running at my mom and is like, do you have a phone? And starts running up in the snow in the driveway. And mom's like, and I panic because it's just me and Leon, the two-year-old. Mm-hmm. And she's like, so I just told her to go on, get. And then she went inside and the girl started walking back to the back shed again. So mom like locks the doors, calls my dad, and is just like, hey, you're coming home, right? Which, it's the morning on a Friday.
Susan should have pulled a shotgun.
Right. But she calls, she's like, so you're coming home, right? Dad's like, well, actually, because he got sick. Mm-hmm. Actually, I am on my way home. I'll be there in a few minutes. What's up?
Weird.
What the heck? What kind of timing is that? So yeah. When he gets there, she tells him and he's like, okay, well, I'll just make a run with the truck down by the shed to see what's going on. So he drives down. You can see the footprints in the snow, right? So he drives down to the shed and he sees her like just kind of rummaging through stuff
in the snow, or in the shed,
and in the shed, in our big open sided shed, because it used to be that cow shelter.
The fuck you doing?
Yeah, so he like gets out and he starts walking up to her, notices she has taken off the sweatshirt in the snowstorm, is standing there in a t-shirt, and is like, what you doing? And she's like, just crushing cans. Do you have like a plastic bag I can put these in? Dad's like, how about I just take you home instead? She goes, oh, that'd be great. Gets in the truck. She lives in like, so we always used to call it like the creepy farm, because there was a creep who used to live there and it's like 2 miles away. So he brings her home. Like she gets in the car with him, brings her home. And as they pull up, her like brother and mom, they said, were coming out of the car, like coming out of the house to get in the car to go figure out where she had gone, because she just like disappeared. And the woman's like, if she shows up at your property ever again, just call the cops, because she needs a lot of help and it doesn't seem to work from us.
Is she like drugged out, or was
I don't know if she's on drugs or needs drugs. You know what I mean? Like, one of the two are...
But that could have ended badly with... Yeah. Well, not really, because once your mom's in the house, there's a lot of guns in that.
Well, so, and I mean, that's like... the thing. Is she's like, I mean, I know I could have, but she goes, I was shaking. I was so worked up because it's just so random. She goes, I've only seen random people outside of our house twice other than this. And that was all when you guys were like kids. And you were at school the one time, and the other time you guys were playing outside and he was just walking by the highway. It's not like he approached the house at all.
Hey, you what know? You doing?
No, that. That's so
I can
Bill.
Just imagine it, Bill. Just, hey, what you doing?
So that was her like crazy story. Cause I sent her a text and I was like, cause I had stopped for gas and I was like, hey, you know, I'll call you as soon as I get home so you can tell me the story. She goes, oh, I'm not going to forget it. So just as soon as you're able to. But that was Susan's story, that she's like, you need to tell this to Christina.
Don't like that. No, ma'am.
I know, I'm like, oh, it makes me want to throw up. Because what if she hadn't seen her? There's so many things that happened just in the right timing there that I'm like, someone was, like, paying attention.
Yeah, what if she hadn't seen her and the lady froze to death on your property? Oh,
and there's just a dead body. Or what if Dad wasn't on his way home because he got sick enough to come home from work, which he never does.
And she freaked out and tried to hurt your mom.
Yeah, there's so many things that could have happened that if just in the right time she hadn't caught a glimpse of the sweatshirt and seen that there was somebody walking, Dad didn't happen to come home at the right time to where he could drive down there and figure it out. She goes, and I mean, if it was nice out and not snowing to where I can't get around in the snow at all, mm-hmm. she goes, I'm a pretty spry lady.
I'm a spry lady.
Right? She's like, I'd probably go down there with a weapon and just walk around and see what's happening. And, you know, she's like, but it was snowy and I didn't want to have Leon in the house by himself, have something happen to me, something happen to him. So,
right.
But it was, I was like, I can't imagine. I would hate everything about that.
I hate everything about that.
Well, that was her first thought is she's just, I was like, well, why didn't you call the cops? She goes, well, I don't want to call the cops and someone that, what if like her boyfriend threw her out of the car because they got in some whatever. Right. And I don't want her to get in trouble for just trying to figure out somewhere to be until mm-hmm. she can get a hold of somebody. And I was like, yeah, I suppose. So she's like, I don't want to get someone in trouble for something as innocent as they didn't have any say in it. If it is something like that, but I also don't know what your intentions are, so I'm not going to approach you.
I don't like it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's it.
That was creepy.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Go, oh, God.
Oh, no, I don't like it.
Hey.
I freak out when I'm home alone and I order food and someone knocks on my door.
You're like, oh, it's DoorDash.
It's DoorDash, but my first thought is it's a murderer.
And oh, then, my God, someone's here to kill me.
Well, and I'm home. Oh.
Ooh, do you have a story too? Your face.
It's not like a story, but Clover discovered how to growl.
Oh.
You know, and I know it's for someone who doesn't know the dog, she's never made that sound before in her entire life, and it's terrifying. So Katie at my sister's house over Christmas,
mm-hmm.
she, and then this, keep in mind this dog is three, like, and she's never yeah. done anything but bark like a seal.
Yep.
And Katie's house is like in New Jersey. There's, I don't know how to explain it, but deer are like rats. So they're like rural areas. You see like herds of deer just walking across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's like that in Rochester sometimes.
And so like every day there's like at least 10 deer in her backyard or front yard, just hanging out like right next to the house. And then like, there's also like a fox and a badger and like other weird animals, like just living coyotes that just live in her fucking backyard. It's like, fucking Winnie the Pooh storybook back there. So we'd be walking the dogs in the backyard on the leash because it's not fenced in and it's nighttime, and Clover would go on full point, like yep. hunter dog point, and just stare into the darkness. And then all of a sudden I'm out there with her alone and she just lets out this deep barrel growl, and I'm like, okay, we're going inside now.
I don't trust whatever's making you make that sound right now.
I can't see what you're seeing, so we're going to get the fuck out of here, because what if it's a coyote or some weird, what if it's the Jersey Devil? I don't fucking know, but I'm out of here, you know? So then today, so I heard her make it twice. She growled twice when we were out there. And I'm like, first of all, who the fuck brought Cujo with us? I didn't even know this dog knew how to make that sound, but apparently right. she saves it for special occasions. But now she's figured out how to make that sound. So I'm sitting in my office working. My mom and dad went to the YMCA and I'm home alone and I don't hear the door open. I don't hear anyone walking. I don't hear anything. And then all of a sudden she's like laying by the door or standing by the door at full attention, growling at the door. And I'm like, who's out there, buddy?
This isn't just a like, oh boy, my headphones went out. Oh. This isn't just like a get my attention kind of sound. Could we not do that?
And she's not looking at me. Normally, right. when she looks at me, she'll just sit and stare at me with a penetrating gaze that I can feel like in my sleep and wake up to her just staring at me. But she's facing the door, like on full alert, like just growling away. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Is there an intruder?
So is there a moiterer here?
So I'm like, hello? It's my brother, because he went to the YMCA with my dad and he came here to shower. And he's like, it's just me. And I'm like, Clover, it's your buddy, man. Why are you growling at him? You can smell him. Why are you being a dick?
You scared me. Mama. Or daddy.
You scared me.
Scare me.
Okay.
Scare me. You scare me.
Okay. Anyhow. Anyway.
Do you have a story?
I do.
That's so good. I'm so glad you came with the story.
So I started to do research on this like big long story that I find, I mean, it's a really interesting story, but at the same time as I'm doing it, there was like so much that I was like, I'm bored. This is boring. I'm bored. So, and this was last night. So
yeah, I just finished mine today because I did a whole research on one thing and I was like,
that's what I was doing.
And I want to do something else.
I hate this. It's boring. It's boring. I'm bored. So I went back to my tried and true and I have like a list of unsolved like serial murders and okay. I just picked a random one.
Perfect.
So these are the tube sock killings.
Tube sock killings,
AKA the Mineral Washington murders.
Did this happen in the 80s and or 90s?
Yes.
Okay. Just because the word tube socks, most people don't think about that.
I was like, why have you done this story? Because fuck you.
By the way, I did this, so I totally like looked up a story and started doing research on it, and I was like, this is really interesting, it sounds really familiar. And so then I have to look at the pictures that like are of the people, because that's how my memory gets like triggered. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Christina sure as hell did this, like this is a for sure been done one. And I looked it up on Spotify. Sure shooting. Anyway, tube sock murderer.
Okay. So within 4 months in the mid 1980s, three people were found slain and a fourth went missing within 15 miles of each other in a remote wooded areas of Pierce and Lewis counties in Washington, near the remote community of Mineral, Washington. In 1985. So, two of the dead were women, and tube socks were found around their necks, which is why they're called tube sock killings.
Interesting.
So, on August 10th, 1985, Stephen Harkins, 27, and his girlfriend, Ruth Cooper, 42. Get it, Ruth.
Right?
Cooper. Okay, I'm sorry. Left their Tacoma, Washington home for a weekend camping trip at Tula Lake in Pierce County. When the two did not return to their jobs at Tacoma Vocational School the following Monday, their families reported them missing.
Okay.
4 days later, on August 14th, hikers passing through Pierce County found Harkin's body near a remote campsite. He had been shot in the head and his body still in a sleeping bag suggested he had been murdered while he was sleeping. So someone came up on their campsite, shot him in the head, and then took Harkins or Ruth Cooper.
Okay.
Harkins is the one who died. Well, they both died. Never mind. As they continued their search.
Thank you. I'm like, I don't know what to say.
They found Harkins and Cooper's pet dog, who had been shot to death as well.
Oh.
At the time, law enforcement suspected that the case may have been connected with the murders of Edward Smith and Kimberly Diane Levine, who were a couple from Kent, who were abducted and murdered and disposed in a gravel pit near the Columbia River in March of 1985. Okay. But they weren't able to for sure connect him, but it is a possibility.
Okay, so it's just kind of like they make sense, kind of similar type of thing. Okay.
On October 26th, a skull was found at the dead end of 8th Avenue South near Hart's Lake, about 1.5 miles from where Harkin's body was found. And dental records confirmed the skull belonged to Cooper. And 2 days later, on October 28th, her body and her purse were also recovered from the area 50 feet from where the skull had been found. Okay. And a tube sock had been tied around Cooper's neck.
And this was like 3 months later, correct?
Yeah, this was in October.
Okay, because they went in August.
Yes.
Okay.
According to the autopsy, Cooper had died of homicidal violence, is what they pointed.
Well.
There was a spokesperson later stated that she had died of a gunshot wound to the abdomen. So there's been kind of a which one actually killed her, because the autopsy report says homicidal violence, but then a spokesperson called it a gunshot wound to the abdomen that actually ended her life.
Okay. Wouldn't that also be homicidal violence?
I mean, yeah. Okay. After, but I don't know if they meant like homicidal violence, like she was strangled to death or beaten to death, if that's what they mean by homicidal violence.
Okay.
Because normally I would think that if it was a gunshot wound to the abdomen, the cause of death would be gunshot wound to the abdomen. I would think homicidal violence would be where they can't really determine a specific cause of death.
Exactly. Okay, but they know that it was something that violent. Was outside. Yeah. Yeah. Outside their forces.
Yes. So after the discovery of Ruth Cooper, the murders were publicized by Crime Stoppers in an attempt to recover information leading to the arrest of those responsible, but nothing ever came from those. That. Over a month after the discovery of Ruth Cooper, on December 12th, 1985, Mike Reamer, 36, and his girlfriend Diana Robertson, 21, and their daughter Crystal Louise Robertson, age 2, traveled from their Tacoma home to the Pierce County, planning to find a campsite near the Nisqually River. Reamer was an animal trapper who planned to check on traps he had set in the area. So they're going to just do a little family camping trip while he checked on the traps.
Right. Two birds.
Later that evening, customers at a Kmart, definitely aww. The 80s, store yeah. 30 miles north in Spanaway, found the couple's daughter, Crystal, standing outside the store entrance. Crystal was placed in temporary foster care until her maternal grandmother saw her photograph on the local news broadcast 2 days later.
So the child is okay?
Yes.
That's good. Okay.
When asked where her mother was, she was very dazed, and she said she finally answered her grandmother and said, "Mommy was taken into the trees."
That's creepy.
Isn't that terrifying, coming from a two-year-old? According to investigators, the two-year-old was not nearly verbal enough to provide any more accurate information, basically.
If right.
Your mom, she went into the trees. The fuck does that mean, kid?
Okay.
Police searched the area both on foot and by air, looking for evidence of Reamer's red 1982 Plymouth pickup truck, but they could not find it. Then, in February of 1986, over 2 months after they had disappeared, the body of Diana Robertson was discovered half buried in snow by a motorist near a logging road off Washington State Route 7 in Mineral, Washington.
Okay.
Bloodhounds looked through the area in the following days, but 6 inches of snowfall basically kind of impeded that search. Reamer's pickup truck was also found near her body. In the truck, police discovered a note on the dashboard that read, "I love you, Diana." It was written on a manila envelope.
Okay.
Robertson's mother claimed the handwriting was that of Reamer. Bloodstains were also found on the seat of the truck. An autopsy revealed that Diana Robertson had been stabbed 17 times and, as with Ruth Cooper, was found with a tube sock tied around her neck.
That's a very distinctive thing.
I know.
A tube sock. Ooh, I wonder if they're from the same pair. I'm just saying.
I don't know that answer. I'm sorry.
Well, you didn't do a thorough enough research. I know.
It was a missed opportunity for some additional research. Damn.
So sorry.
Due to Reamer's disappearance, investigators believed he may have been responsible for her murder and had abandoned his daughter at the Kmart store and then fled. They theorized that Reamer may have been responsible for Harkins and Cooper's murders as well. But an alternate theory claimed that Reamer was also the victim of a serial killer, and they just hadn't found his body.
Right. Which would make sense, especially if it's very similar to this other one that had a couple that both mm-hmm. got killed.
However, just as a side note, in February of 1986, after they discovered that Diana Robertson had been murdered, the Seattle Post did publish an article revealing that Reamer had been charged with domestic assault against Robertson on October 19th.
Okay, so that makes it a little more questionable.
But the couple had reconciled by December, and then they went camping. Reamer also worked as a roofer at Seattle's Queen City Sheet Metal and was described by his employer as a typical roofer who worked hard and played hard, but didn't have any real violence tendencies right. that they knew at work.
Okay.
On March 26, 2011, hikers discovered a partial human skull that was later to be determined to that of Mike Reamer. It was found in an area within a mile radius of where Robertson's body had been discovered. After recovery of the skull, Lewis County investigators stated that they believed Reamer could have been a possible victim of homicide as well, though his cause of death could not be determined. Based on the condition of the skull, however, authorities were able to rule out a gunshot wound to the head. And that okay. there is no more information. Nothing has been determined by those cases. So basically the two theories are either that Reamer was the murderer who had committed the first set of murders and then killed Diana the same way and then killed himself. But that kind of...
That seems far-fetched.
Now, especially since they determined that he didn't, like, shoot himself in the head. So
right.
how else did you murder yourself in the woods? Did you hang yourself on a tree? I feel like, you know...
Bring a bunch of pills and take those? Like, what?
Yeah, which is a weird way to go in the yeah. woods. Or that there is a serial killer that's still out there, or that was still out there at the time, and that they just haven't connected other cases yet.
Hmm.
So, because like they said, that first, the two that they were found in the quarry, they said it could be possible that those were tied to it. Other missing couples from like the Washington area woods, but they don't have any more information than on those two murders.
Weird. That seems very just like, and that's it.
And that's the end. I debated on doing the story because that was kind of like, I was like, so that's it? There's nothing.
We're not.
Nothing. But no, that it's not a well-known case. They haven't done a lot of, well, for a while there, they thought it was Reamer. So I don't think they did a lot of more investigating on other avenues. And then they, in 2011, they discovered that Reamer's skull was found close to Robertson's body.
Mm-hmm.
So then they're like, well, maybe it wasn't him. But by that time.
Well, in the first place, it's in the wilderness. So the elements tend to wash away and
The wilderness. In Washington, where if it's not raining, it's snowing. And if it's not snowing, it's raining.
So it's everything's wet all the time.
It's moist.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I just thought, I mean, I debated because it's kind of one of those stories where it's like, that's it. That's all I got. But at the same time, I just find it a really interesting case that it's not well known.
Literally was just, well, and that's kind of.
It seems odd to me that you would do two sets of. Like identical murders and then just stop. So
unless
you,
they died.
Unless they died, like it, unless it was Reamer and he died or.
Well, other people die too.
Well, no shit. Or unless it was, they were arrested or they moved on and they're killing still. That's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
When
they
you look at.
Stopped.
Well, yeah.
I think about like BTK that
like,
or, like
the Golden State
out.
Killer.
Yeah. Where they just like, then it just done.
And then they just start back up again when they feel like it.
Mm-hmm. Or, like, just bring it up when they realize nobody's paying attention to it anymore. Because they like the attention more than anything.
Yeah. It's creepy. I don't like it. I started looking at unsolved serial murders because I read an article. I don't know if it was in the Post or the Times or something. And it was, like, number of statistics for unsolved serial murders. I can't even remember the numbers, but they were astronomical and it creeped me the fuck out. So then I started looking into unsolved serial murder cases. And they're creepy because...
Yeah, well... And I mean, a lot of times serial killers will shift their, like what they do because they need it to be more exciting because they've done it how long. So then it could be that they just changed the way that they did things because that didn't do it for them the second time. So they're like, well, let's move on to the next thing.
Right.
In the 80s, Washington, that's about the same time that the Green River Killer would have been going on, correct?
Yes.
And like Picton.
Robert Picton. Yeah.
Yeah.
So... It's just, maybe they were...
One bit past fucking Ridgeway. What a nasty ass. I mean, Picton's nasty too, but he had a very specific brand.
Yeah.
So. Interesting. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's a very, very random, but I like it. I've been very into like the weird little cases, which is hard because it's like, either I feel like I need to do a couple of them so that there's enough meat or...
I was just going to say, I think coming up, I'm going to end up doing a couple in one episode just because maybe we can go back and forth. Gives a lot of, there's not a lot of meat, but they're still fascinating. Mm-hmm. You can tell me your story now?
Oh, I sure can. Guess where I'm going in my story? Bet you can guess.
Washington?
No.
Minnesota?
Australia!
Oh, why would I, how would I fucking be able to guess that?
The last like 7 cases that I've covered, 5 of them have been from Australia. Why? I don't know. It's like the world wants me to see these Australian stories now because it's all the things that are on my feed, places that I look for stories.
Oh.
So.
Sorry.
It's in Australia. Yeah, whatever.
I guess I just don't pay attention to your stories.
That's weird. I would have never guessed.
Fucking rude.
But I'm going to tell you about the case of Tia Lee, okay? But she goes by Tia, so she's Tia throughout the rest of it. Palmer.
Tia Lee Palmer?
Yep.
Okay.
So Tia Lee, aka Tia, was born in 2003. So she was a minor when everything happened. So I don't know if they just don't have the information of her birth date out or if they don't know it because she was put into foster care by her mom and her mom had some issues and stuff. So I don't really know, but 2003 is what I found in Queensland, Australia.
Okay.
To her mother named Cindy. Cindy says that when Tia was about 7 years old or so,
They lived in a very violent domestic situation, and she was dealing with her own issues. So she had like voluntarily put Tia into foster care to get her life together and have Tia have a safe place to be that wasn't in the house where there was the violence.
Okay.
But for a few years, she fought her own demons with drugs and being homeless. And because she left and then she was homeless, which led her into drugs, which kind of turned into just a whole questionable lifestyle. So Tia was in foster care for longer than Cindy was planning for her to be. So Tia was bounced around from different foster homes for the like 4-ish years she was in foster care. And in 2015, she was placed with the Thorburn family.
Or, okay.
Thorburn.
What was the Thornberries?
Yeah, I know. Every time that I read it or said it, I wanted to say Thornberries. So then my tongue goes, we're going to make a different sound than you're supposed to say for this part. Luckily, I don't have to say it much more because I say all the family members by first name.
You don't say Thornberry instead?
I try not to, you know, it's rude. Except it's not because this is an interesting family. So this family had a father named Rick, who was a truck driver and also had a thriving food truck business on the weekends that the whole family worked on. Okay. The mother, who was Jolene and ran an in-home daycare in their house, and two sons or brothers to Tia, Joshua, who was 19 and worked basically, it seems like he was working at the daycare with his mom because that was the only thing that was listed for his what he was doing. And okay. Then Trent, who was 18 and had just started an apprenticeship as a metal fabricator.
Okay.
This family lived in Logan City, Logan City in Queensland.
Okay.
It's a ruralish property. Like, I wouldn't say it's in the country because they had 2 acres of land and they did have neighbors, but they had like space, you know what I mean? Compared to like a town house or, you know, They also had a swimming pool and they kept horses. So they had a little horse barn and it was a nice space for kids to be. So they fostered multiple times and they like I said, they had a in-home daycare there. So there was places to play and things to do there. Joshua and Trent loved dancing. So they went to dance class regularly, which Tia also loved. Like throughout her life, she was all about dancing and performing and everything. So they started bringing her to dance classes too.
Mm-hmm.
Tia was placed with this family when she was 12. She ran away from home a few times. And I mean, she's 12 and she's in foster care. It's a weird situation. And so I don't know that it's totally abnormal for kids with a troubled background at 12, 13, when they're starting to go through puberty and having hormonal emotions to want to like escape or leave the house or, you know, whatever. Everything's unfair. Mm-hmm. So nobody looked at it as if it was weird, really. So everything I read said it was like she had ran away, but would come back before it was dark, or she'd skip school and then come back like she was coming back from school. And it was about 10 times in 10 months that she just kind of would disappear and then come back because she didn't seem to want to be in the dark by herself. So, cause you know, she's still a kid.
Right.
And anyway, so Friday, October 30th, 2015, about 10 months after she had joined this family, Tia never came to school. By midday, the school had called Rick, the dad, and told him, hey, she hasn't shown up. Like, is she absent because she's sick or what? Did you just not call? And he didn't seem very worried. Again, she had done this a few times. So he kind of was just like, okay, well, she'll show up at the end of school again and everything will be fine. But when she didn't show up after he called and reported her missing, after like, you know, afternoon comes, late afternoon, and he's like, okay, maybe I should call somebody because she's never been gone this long when she does her runaway or when she skips school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was starting to get dark and she didn't want to be in the dark, he said. So Rick's story was that morning he had dropped her off at school at 8:10 like he normally did. He watched her meet up with a friend outside the school and then they walked in together. and that was the last time he had seen her. And that night, he made a status on Facebook after they figured out that she wasn't coming home. And his status was, we are still trying to find Tia. She has to be at someone's house. She has no money. She does not like being out in the dark alone. She is not familiar with too many areas. And so she has to be with someone, please. Anyone around the Logan area this morning, keep looking. We and her mom. It's a weird thing.
We and her mom.
But it says typed we. Oh, so weird. we and her mom are worried sick about her, please. Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry. But how old is she again at this point? 12. She's 12. Okay.
Yeah. So she's at that weird stage where she's like a kid still, but like tries to act like she's older and more mature, yeah. You know, because it's that weird stage. It's the kids that are like in the school age class that I teach, it's the oldest kids there are 11. So I just kind of equate it to right around that age. It's right. That weird, like, no, I'm like a big time deal, but also they're kind of scared to do things and know anything about anything else. It's like, okay, whatever you say. So he just assumed that she just ran off to a friend's house or something. Mm-hmm. I just had to point out though, because when I was typing this out, I was like, he literally used one period as his punctuation in that entire thing. And he wrote the wrong kind of two. So I was like, buddy, you got a spell check, man. Get yourself one of those online checkers. Anyway, then I know weird things to be fixated on, but when I was reading it, I was like,
really, dude?
If I read this like it's typed out, it would be, we are still trying to find Tia. She has to be with someone that's at someone's house. She has no money. She does not know the area. She doesn't like being in the dark. There's no commas or anything. Anyway, so 6 days later, November 5th, there was a press conference held by the police asking for information. But unfortunately, that same day, there were some fishermen on the Pimpama River.
It's never good when there's fishermen.
I know. Joggers or fishermen, man.
Joggers and fishermen, man. You're right. It's joggers, yes, but also fishermen. No one talks about the fisherman aspect of it.
Although, also, the fishermen always think it's a mannequin.
In the story that I was going to do, that it was really long and it was boring me, fishermen find the body and they're like, well, at first they thought it was a log, but then they realized it had hair. So he told his friend, hey, I think that's something. And his friend poked it with a stick.
Well, I mean, to be fair, if you're unsure of what it is, you don't want to like call the cops, have them come out and pull a log out of the water and be like, you called us for a log.
It looked like it had hair.
Aren't you an outdoorsman? But a couple,
let me get
fishermen,
this stick and poke it first to make sure.
Such a boy thing. It is
a boy thing, 100%, because I don't know a female person that their first instinct when they see something that they think might be a body is to get a stick and poke it.
You know what, I don't know, I might do that.
I don't think you would.
I've accidentally stabbed a snake before because I didn't know what it was, so I poked it with a stick.
That's different. I would stab a snake if it was coming at me. You don't know what kind of fangs that bitch has.
I would have wanted to catch it, not kill it. And it was an accident.
Accidental.
Anyway, this is a serious part, we better stop. So some fishermen were fishing.
Did they poke her with a stick?
No, but they did find human remains.
Oh.
Did
they poke those with a stick?
No.
Okay.
They just called the police.
Now, see, were they female fishermen? It's just a question.
No, it was three men. So the remains were washed up on the bank of the Pimpama River.
Okay.
It was about 30 kilometers away from the school where she had last been seen. Okay. Because the next day they were identified as Tia. Her pants had been removed. There were some that said her pants, some that said everything but her underwear,
which would be gone. Her pants,
yeah, but like her shirt and stuff too, like nudity wise. But then there were some that just said her pants were removed, so I'm not sure exactly what it was, because this is kind of where things get a little question, like, a lot of the articles didn't line up right, mm-hmm. or they chose one thing to fixate on and talk about, and so I had to make a timeline because Yeah. So it was just one of those ones I had to pull a bunch of articles because there wasn't like one concise, here's the entire story type of thing to get bones out of. So anyhow, she was found with her pants off, and then the body had been, it's 6 days in the water. So the body had been decomposed too much to determine a cause of death. And also any evidence that had been on the body had been washed away.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what's left is the evidence from the river. So that made any sort of evidence from that impossible to find, but it did make them go, okay, so she didn't just run away, because that was, the family was just like, I mean, she does it. I don't know if she just disappeared or she ran off with the wrong person or what happened.
Right.
But
how can they confirm that she didn't just fall into the river?
And that's the thing. They didn't know.
Because, I mean, like, even if you have clothes on when you fall into the river, if you're in the body of water that long, you're bouncing off rocks and trees and branches and shit like that. I'm sure stuff can come off.
Well, and that's exactly it, is they didn't know exactly what it was. So the case kind of went cold. They didn't have any reasoning for it, but they did. The family did have the body now in order to, like, have a funeral and pay their respects and say goodbye. So they did have this funeral, and everybody wore purple shirts that said Tia Lee on them in memory of her. Tia's birth family came, her grandma and her mom, and Rick was a pallbearer. He was one of the few men that carried the casket, and Trent and Josh did like a tribute dance because it was one of the dances they were working on in dance class to Tia at the funeral too. So it was like this big to-do. A lot of people came out to show support, and it was just, it was a good tribute and goodbye to her and celebrated her life. It seemed really just very beautiful. You know what I mean? I saw pictures of it.
Yeah.
Then about 6 months later, after the case had kind of gone cold, they didn't know, everybody kind of went, it's suspicious, but also they don't know for sure. So nobody, they didn't know where to go. The police got a anonymous tip being like, hey, you need to check out this conversation on Facebook Messenger between these two people. I don't know what the laws are in Australia, but they were able to look at them. Okay. Kay. It was between Trent, so the younger of the two brothers, and his cousin.
Ooh. So
Trent basically just asked if he could talk to his cousin. He had a lot on his mind, and he starts just like spilling his guts. Basically, this is what he tells his cousin, that him and Tia had been having a sexual relationship, the 12-year-old and the 18-year-old.
So he'd been raping her.
Exactly. He says that she was forcing herself on him, was threatening to kill his dog if he didn't have sex with her.
It seems
I don't believe it for a second. Anyway,
I don't believe you.
He tells him this, and then he's like, and Tia may be pregnant, I think, because she had like cramps after dance class one day, like severe cramps, whatever. And so he got all nervous because he's raping her. And so, you know, who would it be? So one of the quotes from one of the messages was, "Mom and Dad went out on Monday to get horse feed, and I was home doing schoolwork, and Tia was home too. After Mom and Dad left, she told me that if I didn't have sex with her, she was going to kill Lewis, my dog."
Sure she did.
Yeah, I bet you that's what she said. He also had called her a source of income for his parents. He's like, and I didn't want to say anything to my parents because I know she's a source of income.
She's a foster?
Yeah, so she gets, okay. they get
money.
Check yeah. from this. Yeah.
Mm.
So that's fun. After they looked at these messages, they realized they were dated for the day before Tia disappeared. Yeah. So one source that I read said that somebody in like a coffee shop like overlooked these messages and saw them and was like, okay, that's weird. I need to call the cops and just say these are the people that are in the message. Some sources think that it was the cousin who reached out to the police and was like, okay, now I need to spill my guts because I feel guilty that I didn't say anything right away. Because this is 6 months after it happened. So with this information,
okay,
the police bugged their house. I don't know how they're doing all this stuff. I don't know if they knew that they had bugged their house, but they sure talked like they didn't. So
hyperbolic mics?
I'm not sure, but this is what was written in all of the things. So they bugged their house, and they had overheard Rick and Jolene basically telling the boys, we need to stick with our story. Don't tell the cops, whatever. They specifically heard Rick telling Trent what he's supposed to answer if the police ask him about their relationship, like him and Tia's. They had also picked up a conversation between Jolene and Josh talking about how they wanted to come clean and they weren't okay with this, like just between the two of them, because they seemed to be the most not guilty, more just like the holding the information to people. I don't think
they're not stuck guilty. In a hard place, but
don't get me wrong.
Oh.
I don't think that they're like innocent, but I also think that out of the four of them, they were the least culpable for it, you know?
Yeah.
This prompted the police to look at hours of CC footage from the school, which I don't know why they didn't do that before, from the day that Tia disappeared. Again, maybe they thought that it was on her own accord, so they didn't dig into it like it was a criminal investigation. But they found that she never was on the school premises, like nowhere ever that day.
So she never, okay.
So she never got dropped off at school, like he said. For this year following Tia's disappearance, so it was like 11 months or so, the Thorburn family, I'm so proud of myself.
The Thornberries!
Had no other foster kids, but they did still run their in-home daycare. But 6 months, so about the same time, that they got the tip about the messages, Rick was charged with sexual abuse of two children under the age of 12 from the daycare.
Ew, so it's just a house of rapers, girl.
Yeah.
It's getting a little rapey in here, Drake.
I'm so grossed out by this family. And they had this like whole, like, they looked like just like a good family. They had a big house. Everything seemed to be going for them. They looked like they were helping the community.
It's gross. I don't like it. Stop it.
So, like 11 months after the disappearance, Rick's car was finally taken in and searched. They were able to get enough information to like actually seize his car to search it. And they were able to search the house. While this was happening, they took in the family. It would be September 20th of 2016.
That's wrong.
I'm wrong. That's wrong.
How do calendars work again?
Yeah, I don't see. It's a normal thing. It's fine.
It's fine.
But so they got like a warrant to search their house, not just like a preliminary walk around, see if there's anything.
They got all into the nooks and crannies of it.
Oh, yeah. Got all up in it. Looking for the pink backpack that she loved and her like school uniform, trying to see if they were left at the house. That means she didn't go to school or wasn't ready for school.
Right.
As far as I could tell, they didn't find those, but it didn't matter because they had enough information to take the whole family in for questioning and whatnot. So September 20th of 2016.
BT.
I was just going to say.
Before Titanic.
Which one was BT?
Before Titanic.
AT. I'd be after Titanic on 1916, you goofball.
Oh, you're right.
You're right.
You're right.
Anyway, so they were taken into custody, and obviously they were doing the searches. This was happening. Rick was charged with killing Tia and interfering with a corpse, so getting rid of the body, because clearly it wasn't left at the house. It was in the river. Rick had called a family meeting the night before. So this is a story from Jolene and Josh, because they were the ones that were the most forthcoming. Like, it's here. We can tell the story now.
Listen, we didn't do anything, but we knew about it, is basically what I'm getting from
pretty
them.
Pretty much. So, and I hate to like be like, oh, you're terrible people, but also not great. I'm like, kind of a situation was it that they were?
And you don't know like what was happening.
Like maybe behind closed doors, maybe he was abusive to both of them. So they were like, I'm just going to stay quiet because I don't want to get, he already killed one person.
Right.
So Rick called a family meeting the night before Tia went missing. This happened after Jolene had talked to Trent, and Trent told Jolene everything. So then Jolene went to Rick and was like, this is what's happening. What are we supposed to do? Right. So he calls this family meeting and he basically just goes, I need you guys to disappear for the night. Leave Me Here with Tia.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so from what they are gathered, because the police don't have an actual cause of death and he hasn't actually like come out and admitted too many details, he smothered her. And the next day, when the three came back, he told them not to go into Tia's room. And he said that it was the problem was taken care of. His quote was, "She's no longer with us. I hope you know what that means." So I don't know if he was trying not to say that so that they don't have anything saying, well, he told us that he killed her, mm-hmm. you know. And so they agreed to keep this family secret. He was like, we need to not say anything about this. The problem's taken care of. He was more concerned about Trent's image than Tia's life, basically, mm-hmm. is the what it comes down to. So then on September 21st, which is the day after this, they were taken in. Rick collapses in custody and had to be put into induced medical coma because he had taken a handful of pills, couldn't find what kind of pills, and tried to kill himself. Bitch. Yeah.
Coward.
I agree. But he came out of it and he did not succeed. So on July 26, 2017, Joshua pleaded guilty to perjury and attempting to prevent justice served or something. It's mm-hmm. it's the words for Australia's basically just like not telling the truth.
Yeah. Obstruction of justice.
Basically. And he says that he lied because he had made this pact with his family and he was always whatever. He didn't say that he was scared, but I'm wondering if it was just like a fear of his father too. Mm-hmm. He was charged with 3 months in jail, which I don't think is enough, but it's some at least. And then September 13th, 2017, Trent was found guilty of incest perjury and attempting to prevent justice as well.
Would it necessarily, why is it incest?
I think because they're in the household and acting as the sister.
Oh.
And the fact that he was 18 and she was 12. It was well, like saying
he shouldn't be.
Yeah,
I was just wondering why the incest.
And I don't know because I thought the same thing. I was like, I'm not sure why that would be incest. Wouldn't it just be like child
endangerment?
Yeah, that sort of. I don't know, but that's what I'm guessing it is because that's what they said he was charged with. So I don't know if it's just because legally she was part of the family for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so he was charged with all those, and he was only given 4 years.
Gross.
And only served 16 months.
Of course.
Of course. Yuck. He also almost went to jail again in 2001 when he was arrested for stealing camping equipment from a sporting goods store. But he actually he had returned the tent that he stole.
Oh, he's trying to be funny. He's doing a switcheroo.
Yeah, I don't know.
Something and then you bring it back and return it so you get money back.
No, I don't know if he returned it that way. I thought he brought it back because then he turns himself into the cops. Like he finds out that they know who he is that did it.
Oh.
But he turned himself in. I don't think that anything came of that really, but that was just another random story I found about this sweet, cool Trent guy. On November 2nd, 2017, Jolene, the mom, was found guilty of attempting to prevent justice and perjury as well. And she got 18 months, and I'm guessing it's just because of the authoritative figure. That's why she got more. Then, on March 18th, 2018, Rick pleaded guilty. He bowed out of having a jury. He was like... Okay. He was like, I am guilty. And I don't know if it's just that he didn't want to bring more attention to it because it was such a highly publicized case at the time there.
Mm-hmm.
He pleaded guilty to Tia's murder and interfering with a corpse. He was sentenced to life in prison with a minimum of 20 years. And he also got an additional 5 years because of all of the things. That right. He was charged with. He was charged with over a dozen other child sex offenses.
Ew. So how do we know he wasn't?
That's what I'm saying. I and I wouldn't.
That's probably why she didn't want to be home.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And clearly, I mean, there's no proof of it, but clearly I feel like Trent learned it somewhere where it was okay. But some of those charges were rape, attempted rape, and then 10 other counts of other indecent contact with children under the age of 12.
I don't like it. Stop it.
Yeah. So these all happened in that home daycare that same year that he killed Tia in 2015. That's all the people that like came forward. So I'm wondering how many more there had been.
Gross.
He will be eligible for parole in 2038. Doesn't seem like long enough.
Mm-mm.
My thought is this is just everybody should have been charged with more things.
Yeah.
Just longer. Get out of here. And I also saw on one of the little news, article things that I would listen to that they had seen, like women had seen him on dating apps, Trent.
Ew.
So, and he seems to be going for girls that are younger than people that would remember seeing his face in the news.
That's gross.
Yeah, because now he's like mid-20s, you know? So look out, kids in Queensland.
I don't like that. Icky.
Yeah. Nope. That's it. That's all I got. I don't ever want to think about it again, but it was very interesting when I started reading about it because I was like, I've never heard this before. This seems like one of those things that's such a weird, gross case that I would have heard something about it.
Right.
But there was barely anything except news, like Australian 60 Minutes had a bunch of different things on it.
I feel like I've had a look of disgust on my face the entire time you were talking.
I know. I'm kind of sweaty now because I'm all nervous. I don't like saying all that. It's just gross.
I don't like hearing it, so.
But.
Hope you enjoyed the episode, guys.
That's right. I hope you like hearing it. I
don't...
Ew. All right.
I have a funny Linda story for you. I just thought of.
I'm ready.
Yesterday, no, the day before. Wait, I don't even know. It was one of the days of the week. I made eggs and bacon, and I like peppers and cheese and onions and all that stuff in my eggs. So I made my own, and then I told Mom, I'm like, "Hey, oven's free, stove's free. If you want to make your eggs." And on the oven was sitting our leftover apple pie crisp that was like fucking amazing. And there was like a big chunk left and I was going to eat it for dessert. And Mom's cooking away and it fucking explodes. Like glass shrap. I don't know how Mom did not get cut in the face or on the hands. Like there was glass like across the room in our, like,
Linda.
So I had turned the burner off and Mom came in and flipped it on, but she flipped the burner that was underneath the glass Pyrex dish, but my burner was still hot. So she was cooking her fried egg and the eggs were like cooking because the burner was still hot on the pan.
No.
And so she's just cooking away. And so we hear this like boom and like this shattering of glass. And I'm like, what the fuck was that? And I come in the kitchen and Mom's just standing there and there's just glass all around her. She's holding her frying pan with her egg in it and there's glass in the frying pan. It's all
I don't know what just happened.
It's all over the floor. It's like and I'm like, what did you do, Linda? She's like, I guess that's what happens when you turn the burner on under the Pyrex dish.
I guess it's not, it can't get that hot.
Which I don't understand because it went in the oven and cooked at like.
But it's not on direct heat.
Yeah, I suppose.
But it's on the rack. I bet you it'd explode if you put it on the little like coily.
Well, it definitely explodes if you put it in a stovetop oven or on the stovetop.
Just so everybody knows.
Just in case anyone's wondering, don't use glass Pyrex. Don't put it on your stovetop.
So, hey, don't do that.
It doesn't just crack. It blows up.
It implodes.
It does.
Wow. Linda, right. I'm glad you're safe.
I'm like, how did you? I'm like, how did you not get cut, Linda? And she's like, I have no idea. And I'm like, St. Linda, man.
St. Linda.
The good Lord just has a force field around you. You're like Betty White, man. You're going to live until you're 100.
Almost.
Almost.
Too soon? Too soon?
All right, well.
On that joke. See ya.
Thanks for listening.
Spread the word, guys.
Spread yourselves.
Yeah, yeah. Bow. Jamon. Bow. 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 Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You get the harmonies.
Thanks. Thank you for allowing me to get the harmonies. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.